As we look into God's Word this morning, we've been studying this chapter for quite a while, moving along through it, and here we are. We're continuing to dig in verses 9 through 21. Great section of Scripture here. And like I said, pull out your outline, helps you follow along. I'll have you look at a couple of things in that there today. Let's go ahead and read the passage to really set God's Word here on our heart and mind this morning. The Apostle Paul writes, chapter 12, verse 9 and following, he says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervor in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men, if possible, so far as it depends upon you. Be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Kind of a laundry list of duties that we have as Christians. These are the basic duties of living the Christian life. And we all would agree that the Christian way of living is very definitive, isn't it? We might want it to be vague. We might want it to be kind of wishy-washy. We might kind of want it to float upon the ocean and just kind of float anywhere we want it to be. But it's very definitive. Do you guys agree? It's delineated in God's Word right here, what we read this morning. Just so many things that how God is talking to us about how we're to live, because how we live represents who Christ is to us, represents who God, the truth of God, who is. And God uses it to be a light in this world. So it's definitive because God says it's important. And it's important to him, and it makes it important to us. And it's very different than the way of life for the unbeliever. In fact, I could say it this way, it's a supernatural way of living. It's supernatural because it's given by God, empowered by God, brought out of your new life in Christ. Let me tell you this way, humanity can't live it out on its own. You don't live Christianity out on your own. You don't live it even being saved. Even have the new birth, the new life, the transformed life, you have to follow God to live it out. It's a relational aspect of this Christian life. It's very definitive. It's different than the world, totally different. It's supernatural. But you have to have the transformed life to live it. That can live a life of God that he desires for us. He has to give us a transformed life. We saw that life described in chapter 6 through 8. I'm not going to cover that again. We went all the way through that. But if you look at your outline, it started it off this way right in the intro. It says, all believers have a transformed life. You have been set free from sin slavery and given the ability to honor God with your life. You can do it or not, but you have the ability. You've been set free from sin slavery. You've been set free to be able to honor God. You have a transformed life. Without a transformed life, without being set free from sin slavery, no one can live the life described in our text. No one. It's not a good principle of life that humanity can live, that unbelievers can, they can't do it. Because it's supernatural. It's divine living. It's not normal. The kind of living the Apostle Paul calls us to is abnormal. It's not even natural. It's unnatural. It's not natural to the unregenerate. It's not normal for them either. It's not something which human beings can, on their own, choose to do, this kind of living. And that's why I called it supernatural living. Listen to this. It's a way of living that can only occur when it's energized by the divine Spirit of God. When you came to faith in Christ, when you trusted in him and believed in him and came to know the Lord Jesus Christ and became a new person, a new self, a new life, a transformed life, and the Spirit of God was planted within you, and the life principle of God dwells in your soul in that, then you can choose to live this way. By what God has done in your life is how we can live this way. That's pretty definitive, isn't it? I didn't let it be vague. Because I went with what the Word of God says it is. So you have to be born again, made new, have a new life in Christ, have a relationship with Christ. You can't live anything that you're enslaved to not live it. But now with the freedom that we have in Christ, we have the choice if we're going to love God and live the life that he has for it, us, and it's definitive. It's not what you make up in your mind or I make up in mind. It's what God says in His Word is what it is. To live the Christian life is to live on the outside what God has already done on the inside. I like that. I'm a new creature. I can live this way. God wants me to live this way. I have a transformed life. Then we approach chapter 12 and what the Apostle Paul is starting to talk to the church. He's been working to get us all the way here. And the first thing he says in verse 1 and 2, now with that new life that we have, now with the freedom from sin slavery, now with empowered by God and dwelt by the Holy Spirit with life principle, the life pattern that God would have us, the lifestyle that he wants of dwelling in us and God wanting to bring it out, what do you do? The first thing you do is you offer God your life in a reasonable response of worship. And that's what he said. And let me tell you this way about that. You won't live God's way for you if you don't. If your life isn't about offering to God, a sacrifice to God, say, here I am, Lord, this is my life. You saved me, rescued me, delivered me by the mercies of God. Here I am in the heart of gratitude, offering my life back to you to be used by you in this life. You won't live this life because you'll worship something else or you. And so that became very impactful with what he was teaching us in there and what he was talking. Then he said, secondly, Paul taught us that you exercise the grace gifts given to you to serve God's church. You embrace the body of Christ. You now belong to and serve God in the building of His church. In verses 3 through 8. Now, as we come to this section, it's like this. Then you begin to live like this. Now, I want you to capture the flow. I've been saying this over and over. That's the flow of how we're to understand God's Word. That's the flow of what God is saying in His Word. That's how we're to understand it. We don't separate verse 1 and 2 or verse 3 through 8 out of verse 9 through 21. And how we capture this and see this is God said, okay, now offer your life to me as an act of reasonable worship. Use your gifts to serve the building of the body of Christ. Now begin to live like this. That's how it is. That's how we are to understand it as the people of God, wanting God's word to speak to our lives. You have to let that confront your life. You have to let that say, ooh, that's what God said with this new life that I have. This is the priority. This is the way it is. This is how it works. That's why God's word is so important to us, because it's telling us what is true and how we're to live. So he moves on here. We're to live like this. And he begins in chapter 12, verse 9, and he goes all the way through chapter 15 through 13. That's a pretty big section. Like I said, Christianity is a way of life. It's a lifestyle. It's a life pattern. It's a life principle. And if our relationship with God is not right, if this lifestyle isn't present in our life, not perfect, but present, this life pattern, it can't be right, our relationship with God, if it's not there, because He's very definitive all over the New Testament on how we're to live our life. And in verses 9 through 21, we see the basic duties of living out a transformed life. And so last week, in the 2 weeks prior to this, we saw first out of verse 9, our personal duties. You guys remember that? Look at your outline, our personal duties. First, we're to love without hypocrisy. The dominant way of our life is love. What kind of love? Genuine love, legitimate love, godly love with no pretend love, no pretending. Number two, to hate what is evil. We have to have the strong hatred of sin. That's our personal duty. We got to love the way God has put it in our life, the love. We got to love genuinely, not pretend, not hypocrisy, not phony. And then we got to hate sin. All sin is evil to God, and we have... our flesh isn't going to hate it, but our new self will, and we have to choose that and say, I don't like sin in my life, I want it, and cling to or stick to what is good. And what is good is determined by the Word of God, what is good. And we dug in all of that, and that's our personal duties to living out Christianity. Now turn your outline over, and we'll get into what we're going to talk about today. So let me just give you a little heads up here. What the Apostle Paul does is he kind of moves from first his personal duties, and then when he moves into 10 through 13, he brings into the church family, the duties we have within the church family. But he doesn't leave personal duties. He just kind of, now it includes this group. And then when we get into 14 through 17, and now it includes all people. And then when we get to 17 to 21, it even includes the enemies that we have that are enemies against us living for God. And so he just kind of keeps moving on and adding more people. They're all our responsibilities, but now he's kind of talking about how our responsibilities are with the church family. This is the responsibilities that we have. I want to read it again, verse 10 through 13, so we can really grab what he says here as our duties to the church family. He says this: be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, for rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Now, just in me just reading those, you see, man, that's a lot of time, that's a lot of things, that's a lot of stuff going on within a church family, isn't it? God's Word telling us these are the things that are going to be going on. These are our duties within one another. 10 of them are listed. I only put 5 in the outline. We're probably only going to look at 2 today. But just like the ones that I read in Ephesians 4 this morning, this is our life. This is our lifestyle. This is the pattern of life that we live. And I can't say it enough, and I just want to encourage you. You know, I'm preaching the truth of what God's Word is here. God is teaching us what He said, what He meant, and how it applies to our life. This is the truth. This is your life, this is my life, this is our life. Now, we're going to see that we fall short. We're going to see that, well, we kind of may argue with this. We're going to see that, I don't like that. All those kind of things. Whatever they are, you know, that God's at work in our lives. And we're going to see the things that, oh, wow, that's really going on in my life. I see God at work there. Those kind of things, we want to rejoice in the things that God's doing on. But like we ended last week on, anytime we have conviction of the Holy Spirit, that's the Word of God doing what it said it was going to do and why it's there. Because we all need to grow and change. You with me? That's right. We all do, right? This is about us all growing and changing. That's why we preach the Word. We teach each Sunday. So here we are. And it starts with, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. That's a really neat statement in what it says. To be devoted to one another in kindred kind of love, family love. So this section embraces the church family. These words here are very rich, very strong emphasis to the action of love that we're to have for each other. And let me just tell you this. It's right in here. You got it. Every single believer in Christ got it right in here. Whatever I'm going to describe, what I'm going to talk about, it's right here. It's written in your soul. It's in your new life in Christ. Your flesh, on the other hand, it's not written on. Your old self, it's not written on. And that's going to be always the battle. Is, am I going to choose to walk by the flesh and carry out the desires of the flesh? Am I going to walk by the Spirit and carry out the desires of my new life in Christ, the Spirit? And that's to love like God says is here, because it's in me. I don't have to conjure it up. I just have to deny myself and live it. That's the truth of God's Word. And so when we dig into this, this is rich and wonderful and has a real depth of meaning. Other translations say it like this. The ESV says, love one another with brotherly affection. New King James translate it like this: be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Here the NSB says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. He's trying to grasp what the Greek words are saying here. He's trying to grasp what the depth of this is. So there's a devotion, there's an affection, there's a kindred friendship kind of love here. There's a family kind of love here. There's a brotherly love. Now, be devoted or kindly affectionate. Look at that in your verse there in verse 10. Be devoted. That first word there is one word in the original language. But it's a compound. It's a word made of two compound words. So they took two words, they put them together. One is phileos or phileia, and the other one is storge. Very, like, you're like, what do we care? I don't understand all that. But here's what it is. You know, they're trying to be devoted, be kindly affectionate, and they're trying to grab it. Well, the phileos means kind of a friendship, devoted love that we have for, an affection that we have for each other. It means an affectionate love. And then he put the word storge together. So it's philos storge. Storge means a natural family love. And so that's where we get our natural affection of a family kind of love, is a devotion to one another as family. That's the idea. That's what he's trying to get across. That's what we're to have, what we're to do. It's not based on attraction or beauty or circumstances. You're our favorite aunts because we love you. It's not based on anything else. It's not based on anything else other than that what's in our heart, what's in our life. We have a family kind of love. Let me ask you, you love your family? Do you love your family? In your soul, is this love that you have for your kids, parents, for the family of God? That's what God's Word is saying. That's what it's, I'll show you every place that it is. I'll show you that it all is. It says it's there. The same love that you have for your aunt and uncle and your grandma and grandpa, that kind of thing. There's just a family kind of affection. It's natural, right? Come on, you guys. Is it natural? Do you know what it says in the end times when people will go away from the Lord? It says that natural love that people have for their family will be gone. Aunts and uncles won't love their nephews. Because that's when the Antichrist is coming, and what's going to happen to people, and what's going to happen. They just won't even love each other. I have some nephews sitting right over here. Love them. It's just there. Oh, you know, it's just there. I mean, it's not like I had to conjure it up, make it. It's just a family kind of love. My sister-in-law is right there, but then it's right there, and it's right there, and it's right there, and it's right there. You know, that's there. And the only way that we don't see it there or act upon it there is because we get overwhelmed with the other things in life, and we try to prioritize who we're supposed to love. God says right here is the priority. I'll read it to you in Scripture. Yes, we're to love other people, love our family, all that. But this is what he says. Be devoted to one another in this family kind of love. We are a church family. We ought to be marked by the natural love and affection that we have for each other. In a devotion. That's Christ, isn't it? That's the truth of Christ. That's the reality of Christ. All of us have this love in our soul. In our new life, 1 Peter 1:22 says, since you have an obedience to the truth, that salvation belief, since you obeyed the truth of Jesus Christ, God purified your soul for sincere love of the brethren, so fervently love one another from the heart, from the inside. Respond with the love that you have. When push comes to shove, we choose to live in this natural love and affection that we have for each other. That's what he's talking about. Let me just illustrate it to you quickly here. You know, my family, we were driving down to Thanksgiving. It was in San Diego. This was a long time ago. The girls were little. And I won't name names because they tell me don't name names when you're talking about the kids. You know, church, that kind of thing. So we're driving down. We got to be this big green Suburban, right? We're in the Suburban and, you know, and we take like 6 hours to get to San Diego. We're kind of slow and, you know, we're not rushed. You know, especially since I came to Christ, I kind of slowed down a little bit on that kind of stuff. I used to make it in 3.5. You know how that goes. But we're in the car. Now, all you parents, you're going to, right? And love's just happening in the car, right? Quit touching me! Quit touching me! You got my stuff! Give me my breast! You got my baby doll! That's my clothes! I mean, you know, you guys get it, right? Just the family kind of love just exuding out of the car all the way down there, right? Right? This is real, right? That's why I'm going to not give any names, okay? So, you know, we're on our way down there and that kind of thing, all that's going on, you know, and as a parent, you're doing what you can and, you know, you're doing what you can, you know. But we went down a day early to stay in a hotel because we wanted to be at Thanksgiving early. We wanted to get there because it's a long drive and we wanted to be at Thanksgiving. We love Thanksgiving. So we stayed in a hotel. So we're getting in the car and we're leaving the hotel and Dad smashes the side of the car into this big concrete post. Now, should I legitimize this, or should I just say, yep, ran right into the pole? It was a big light pole, but around the bottom was this concrete pillar that was only about this high. And so when I'm backing up, I see the light pole. I don't see the concrete pillar. So I'm just like whipping it out. You know, boom. I mean, so the back door on the driver's side is just ripped. It won't open, nothing like that. So we go to Thanksgiving, and then so we're at Thanksgiving, and then we're coming home, and one of the girls has to sit in the car seat next to that door. I see two girls that when push came to shove, it didn't matter if she had their doll, it didn't matter if they had her toy, it didn't matter that, is that that one was scared and they weren't going to let that one be scared on the rest of the way home. That's the love we have for one another. It's in our life. You know, and that's just the first word that he explains here. He goes on to say it's a brotherly kind of love. It's really rich in meaning in what he's talking about here. That's what it ought to be in the family of God, this kind of love for one another. It's tied deeply to family. Then he says, in brotherly love, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Well, that's Philadelphia in the Greek word, philos again, as brothers and sisters. Be devoted to one another with a natural family affection and a brother and sister kind of love. Now, brothers and sisters look out for each other, don't they? They have compassion for each other, care for each other. They don't like what each one goes through. I think a sister or a brother might struggle more than the one that is struggling. Because of care and compassion, we want to help each other in our life. We hold each other accountable in love. And we want to deal with our lives together because God has gave us each other. This is your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the Christian lifestyle. It's a pattern of life in the church family. Let's look at it real quickly. Open your Bibles to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. We're going to bounce around the Scripture a little bit here. So let's just look at Scripture. And so we'll affirm this in the Word of God that it's in us. And if it isn't in us, that's a clear sign of something, and that it's to be lived out. 1 John chapter 2, let's look at verse 9 through 11 first. And then we'll just kind of buzz through 1 John here a little bit. He says this in chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, here's really the truth of this. You see, there's real no real natural family love in the family of God if there's no salvation. It's that clear. It can be hypocritical. We struggle even in our own Christian, but it's in our soul to have this kind of love. It's in your new life. Just like the love you have for your kids and your parents and your grandparents and family. It's the same deal. It's what he's talking about. And John is writing and saying, you know, if you hate the fellow believers in Christ, you're walking in darkness. You're a cause for stumble. Your eyes are blinded. Chapter 3, verse 13 and following, listen to how he continues to teach about love. He says this in chapter 3, 13 and following. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. Well, that hate there is the same kind of thing over here as it was in 2, 9, and the one who hates his brother. It's the same thing. And so he's saying, you know, that in reality, if you hate brothers and sisters that are in the church, there's that hate there. It's the same world. The world has the hate. Then you have no light in you. You're in darkness. Because it's not something humanity brings up in itself. It's something that God plants in the soul in salvation. Humanity can't conjure this love up. And so he says this, do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. Same love we're talking about here, guys. He who is not a love, who does not love, abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Verse 16, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Verse 18, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our hearts before him. You hear the Apostle John. You know, it's not about words and tongue. It's not about lip service. Now, we want to express. My wife kind of gets upset that I tell her I love her all the time in some weird ways sometimes. And in front of a lot of people, she's like, oh, come on. But that's okay. But it's not just lip service. And it's indeed and truth that we love each other. It's just not that we say we do. We actually do. And the things that were brought up today and the multi ones going on is the love of God that we have. And the love that we have for each other and the life that we have for each other. Verse 23 of chapter 3 says, this is his commandment, that we believe in his name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. So the Lord Jesus Christ, in his salvation for us, in this new life, this eternal life that he brought to us, has commanded us, summoned from that new life in Christ, for us to choose to love one another. I think that's pretty definitive so far, don't you? It's not vague. It's what he's called us to be. Look at chapter 4, verse 7 through 11. The Apostle John writes this. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Now, the love you're talking about there is what we're describing, right? Because people not born of God, people that are of the world, they love their kids, they love their spouse, they love the things they love. This is a different thing, isn't it? This is incomparable to the world's love. It's supernatural what he's talking about there. It's not a natural human kind of thing that you do. That's why I taught on that and why I said that. He's not calling for some humanity's natural kind of love. He's calling for the divine love placed in your heart, in your soul, to be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Verse 8, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, manifested, made visible. It was made visible in us, the love of God, God's love, divine love, supernatural love, not human love at all, not any fleshly love at all. This is divine that only can come out because God has placed it in your soul, and it was manifested in us that God had sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. It was manifested us into salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was made visible by God. And this is love, that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now look at chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. And he kind of brings this whole love thing around and the teaching that he has on it. And listen to what it says. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. You see, those born of God with a transformed life love those born of God. This isn't human love, okay? God's not asking us in this human kind of love, love like humanity loves. This is a divine, supernatural love. Those born of God love God, love the Father, love God's Word, love the brothers and sisters, love the family of God. It's not the world's love at all. It's God's love. And he did it first. And without him doing it toward you, you would never love. Period. You're enslaved to sin, so was I. This is what he's talking about. This is the duty of the church family to live out this love. It doesn't look like the world one iota. They can't even fake it and be close to it. That's the depth of what he's talking about. That's what he's asking us, telling us, showing us to be in the family of God. And we love the church family. And we love God by keeping his word, he says. This is the basic duty to the church family. I want to take you one more place here and just show you kind of this is the pattern in our relationships. I want to show you something here. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. There's a lot of places we could go here, and I had to work through this. Chapter 4, verse 21. The Apostle Paul here explains that love in a very serious way. And I want you to hear what he has to say. Because this is the life of the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14 and following. And he says this, verse 14, I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote a lot of things about what was going on in the church family. This was going on, that was going on, this kind of going on, that kind of stuff. You know, I take this as a parent or as a friend. You know, we don't share with each other, tell each other, write a letter, say, hey, this is going on in your life. I see this to shame you. It's not about shame, not about you feeling shame, somebody seeing what's going on. Oh, shame, you know, that kind of thing. It's never to be done. You know, and that is some of the biggest things in humanity, isn't it? Is that we don't really want things to be seen in our life. We really don't want them to be reflected or known, that kind of thing, because we feel guilt, we feel shame. They knew that, you know, if somebody knew how my mouth was, man, I'd really feel bad about that. And you, are you with me? The Word of God isn't to bring shame. The body of Christ isn't to bring shame. The family of God isn't to bring shame. That's not why we would say anything to each other. That's not why we would do it. It's to bring love, right? Come on, are you with me? Right? But you got to deal with that. You think it's shame, right? If you don't see it that it's love, then you deal with it's shame, and then I can't help you, right? Right? But that's what the Apostle Paul is telling them. Now, does the Apostle Paul have this love for this body of Christ that me and you have for each other? Sure he does. He's got a brotherly, kindred kind of spirit, affection, love for them, just like we have for each other. He loves them and cares for them and wants the best for them. He's got kind affection and all of that. He wants to be devoted to them and brotherly love. Look at verse 15. Look what he says here. For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would have not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Did you hear that? Now he's got a fatherly kind of love. He's like, wow, you know, so I kind of feel responsible. I shared Christ. God saved you. This is the Corinthian church just started. We all know the Corinthian church had a really, really hard time. We call them the Church of California, right? I mean, they're having a hard time. He's confronting them. He says, it's not to shame you, to admonish you, to help you. I love you. I even love you like a father does. Listen to what he says. Therefore, I exhort you, be imitators of me. Parents, circle that. Circle that and put that on your refrigerator. Therefore, I implore you, kids, be an imitator of me. And say, kids, and if I'm sinning, then you deal with me. But I want to live Christ in our home. I want to live Jesus Christ, the testimony of Christ, and I'm going to fall short. What does dad do or mom do when they fall short? Not shame, right? Conviction to bring repentance, to love God, to spread the love of God. Imitate that, kids. That's what we imitate. Let's not get that nobody has to imitate that. Okay? The Apostle Paul, they had to imitate that in his life. Okay, that's what we want our kids to see. What do you do when you sin? Hide it? We deal with it. Because that's who we are. Because we love one another. From the inside, we're family. Listen to what he says. Therefore, I exhort you, be imitators of me. For this very reason, I've sent you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. And he will remind you of my ways, which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. I can't give all that's there. Verse 18. Now some have become arrogant, as though I were not coming to you. We don't have to listen to what the ways are, what the Apostle Paul wrote. We're going to go our own way. They're arrogant. But I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I shall find out not the words of those who are arrogant, but I'm going to find out their power. Well, how effective are they being in the church? For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. And look at verse 21. What do you desire? Shall I come with you with a rod or with love and the spirit of gentleness? Aren't they both love? They sure are. Do we need to come to each other sometimes with a rod? And say, you can't do that. That's not God's word. That's not God's way. That's not what God has for you. And because of this love that God put on my soul, how in the world do you expect me to stand by and watch you drown in sin? That's the idea of love. That's the idea of what God has pierced our heart and given us in this life. It's the foot washing, isn't it? It's always easier to wash the feet than stick your feet out and have somebody wash them. Amen? It's always easier to help somebody else with their sin than somebody come and help you with yours. Because of the arrogance in our own heart. But how in the world are we going to stand by and truly love each other with what God placed in our life and not say anything? I don't love you if I don't say anything. And you know it. So don't throw stones at me for saying something. The same with the people that are here in your life. Because this is God. This is God's testimony. This is what God has for our life. And we're a real family of God. And we got family kind of love. And when push comes to shove, we're going to let all of the garbage go and just love, aren't we? Just like kids do. One other thing he has in the text. Look at verse 10 again. Back to Romans 12. I want to just mention this before we close here. But back to Romans 12. Let's just cover a second one. And look what he says here. In Romans 12, it says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And it says, give preference to one another in honor. Is that confusing? Sisters out there, that you have sisters. Is that confusing? Look at your sister and say, is that confusing? Give preference to one another in honor. It's not confusing, is it? I mean, it's not like we don't get that, right? I mean, the depth of being devoted to one another in brotherly love, I've given that. I'll give you a little bit depth. Give presence to one another in honor. Here's a little depth there. We're to prefer one another in honor. That goes back to verse 3 in chapter 12. For through the grace given me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think to have sound judgment. Okay, if you're not giving other people honor, if you're not preferring others, you're not having really good sound judgment. You think too highly of yourself. The idea here is that in humility, you prefer others over yourself. That honors others. And here's the sense of the word prefer. It's talking about leading the way. It's talking about being out front in this. It's talking about don't wait for someone else to prefer you and honor. You start it. You be out front. Isn't that a tremendous thought? Okay, us in the room, today we're going to give preference to one another, honor, and everybody in the room is going to be out front. What a life that is. Tell me, do you struggle sometimes when people don't put you out front and prefer you? Am I talking to humanity here? Right? You know, do you ever have that in your heart? Like, well, you, nobody else noticed me, nobody kind of that, this, you know, I got that going on, this, and I didn't get any preference, that kind of thing. And, you know, that happens, right? That happens in our life. We're real, we're human, that kind of thing. We got to work through that. And then you just look at this, and God says, oh, I'm just going to love with the love that's been put on my heart, family kind of love, and sisters right over here, these sisters right over here, prefer one another in honor. That means be in the front, be leading, be out front, do it. Whether they deserve it or not, whether they earned it or not, because who you are in Christ, do it. Now watch these three do it all day today in front of each other. It's going to be amazing. Dad, you're going to win. But then he has to prefer him. They may never get to lunch because they're all going to argue about who's going to get preference on where we're going to go to lunch. What a great problem to have. You see what he's talking about? This is a basic duty. You see what he's talking about? This is absolutely amazing. You know what? I'm going to close with this. I had some other things on this, but I want to close with this. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the way of life for us to be lived out in clarity that he's already put in you. That's what he's talking about. He's not saying, go here, go get this. He's not saying, pick it off the tree over here. He said, he's not saying, you know, if you understood this and you get some wisdom and instruction and understanding, this can kind of be kind of your life. What he is teaching us, and because all the theology we've went through, and I'll bring it out some more, what he's doing, what the Apostle Paul, what God is doing, he's talking about this incredible way of life for us with tremendous clarity, and then he's showing us, and I've already put it in you. In fact, you'll live this way in eternity. Do you know you'll give preference with honor to everyone in eternity without even thinking about it? Do you know we'll love each other like family and affection and all of that in eternity without even thinking about it? And you know no transformation has to take place for me to go to heaven, just separation. I got to get out of this flesh. There's the key to it all, the flesh. Because in my new life in Christ, created in holiness and righteousness of truth, Ephesians 4:24, it's there. This is the Word of God. This is the reality. You don't have to do some hocus-pocus with God. You don't have to do something and to get God to give you something that you do not have. God is waiting for you to surrender or follow, offer your life to Him, use your gifts for Him, and begin to live this way. You'll live this way because God will empower you to live this way. That's the Word of God. Isn't that encouraging? I want to change. I'm not even close to there yet. How about you? I wrote down for you, yeah, you're not. But I'll hold your hand and head that way. How about you? I want to see my family go that way. And I'm broken when they don't. In reality, really broken. That's the love we have for each other. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. For the truths that we've listened to today and for the worship that we had today and for the testimony people sharing and just to get up and hug each other and just the opportunity to be here today. And, you know, even some of us struggle being here today. I get it. You get it. God's not condemning in the things that we have to work through and struggle with. There may be some people in the room that haven't forgiven each other for something or have something that's there. We're trusting in you, Lord, to work in that. And to speak to their hearts and their minds and bring some sort of reconciliation in their relationships. This is life. This is the reality of the Christian life. Basic Christian living is definitive, and definitive is confession, repentance, forgiveness, being offended. You know, this is just the growth that we get in this new life, because all of us have this flesh that we're learning on how powerful it is. We're learning how much it's dictating our life. We're learning how much it's really in charge. And we're learning how to lay the old self down and pick up the new. That's our life. Do we all wish that we'd do better? Yeah. But do we all know that your forgiveness can't be exhausted? Yes. What we ask for is just your Spirit, through your word, to implore each and every one of us in the life that we're in now and us to go forward. No judging where we're at. No negativity with. Sometimes this is a long haul. But lovingly, like we do family, praying for each other, asking God to help them with their things, for we ache inside in those things, helping us to be comforted by each other, help us to be cared for by each other, and even corrected. We are truly blessed with the life that you've given us to live through this rest of this life we have on this earth. For we have you, and you'll never leave and forsake us. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. You are for us. What will you not give your child if you gave your son, the children of God, if you gave your son to save them? And then you gave us each other. We're just so thankful. And just praise you for the day you've given. In Christ's name, amen. We are dismissed for today.